swinging a high fly.
Swung on high.
This is tagged. Right,
hammered it to the gap.
At the track.
That ball just got out.
That was hit a ton.
This is going to go to the rock.
This ball's getting small.
This is charged. Right back at the track.
It seems like the ball's had a lot of life the last couple of nights.
We could go back to back. Here's Adam Engel swinging a long one to left. We're going to have a tie ball game. He did go back to back. Ian Deep. This is crushed to left center field. This is going to go for a home run. Way out of here.
This is White Sox Weekly. The White Sox have been busy this offseason. They signed a couple of top free agents and spent some bucks in the process.
Boy, this ball is hammered. Way up to the home run porch. Mazzara with a two-run homer. Oh, my!
They've closed up some holes.
Inside corner, that is a dirty dozen for Dallas Keuchel.
Gosselin, line shot caught by Gio Gonzalez.
And they've added some serious talent.
Back in a deep right field, and it is gone. A no doubter for Yasmani Grandal.
The proverbial window has begun to open.
The Chicago Baseball Conversation.
Point back at the track.
On the flagship home of the Sox.
It is gone.
720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly. Good evening. 5:09 on a beautiful Saturday. Mark Harmon, Kevin Powell with you for the 1 hour White Sox Weekly extravaganza into WGN Sports Central with you till 10 o'clock tonight. KP, good to see you, sir.
It's not every day you get to spend 5 hours with the at the Carm here in our beautiful WGN studios. How would you grade the White Sox offseason, Carm?
I would give the White Sox a resounding A. Debating an A+. I love everything that's going on. I love the fact that I'm retweeting John Heyman when he's talking about how great it is that the White Sox didn't sign Manny Machado last year, and they have all this money available, and White Sox fans are screaming at me on Twitter they could afford both. And yes, of course, they could afford both. But at some point, when you do give $300 million to somebody, you start to lose some flexibility. So the way this has just worked out, and some of it is luck, and all of it is being prepared, I think it's fantastic. And I know that Zach Wheeler was their number one target, and I was completely cool with them not getting Zach Wheeler and spending $125 million there and ending up with Dallas Keuchel. So I think it's been great.
It's tough to argue against an A. It really is. I mean, they've addressed all the needs. Not enough, all of them. I don't think they're done yet, Carm. I think they can add some bullpen arms.
Maybe
to the mix as well.
Stevie Cishek coming over, perhaps?
Potentially. I've seen that name being floated around quite a bit, so that could make some sense for them. They do have some pretty good arms in that bullpen. There was a stretch last year where think of how many games they won that they led going into the eighth inning or later. Off the top of my head, it was just a couple of games that they may have lost. I mean, there's some solid arms in the bullpen, but if you look overall, I mean, we can pretty much start drafting opening day lineup at this point, Carm. Well, his really only question mark is at second base.
So, okay, let's do... I want to get into the bullpen with you. We got an hour to do it here. Jason Benetti hopefully is going to join us along the way here. Jason right now is doing one of his 18,000 jobs. He's calling Syracuse and Notre Dame. I'm not sure. I haven't checked the score in the last 5 minutes there, but we'll hopefully have Jason on before 6. If not, we'll have him on sometime tonight. But look, I've got Luis Robert leading off and playing center field. Anybody? Sure. You got a problem with that? No?
No.
All right.
Don't see them putting Robert at leadoff, but.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they'll ease him in? You're probably right about that.
At least to start the season.
Why not just lead him off? You just gave him $50 million for 6 years. I want to talk about that, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, the White Sox deserve a ton of praise for buying out
arbitration years.
The arbitration years, and then they're also buying into one of his free agency years as well. But it's not anything more than that. Like, they had him under control for 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they did 6 years and $50 million. With 2 year options. So that gives them the right to start him this year, because they could have, if they had left him in the minors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have, so you would just have missed the first, whatever it is, 15 days of the season. And then you would have paid him along the way. So they had control for 7 years. Now they have control for 8 years. And they get to start him on opening day, which is all great.
Right.
But it wasn't like I wouldn't call like the most enormous game changer of all time. He was going to be here for a long time. Now he's here for another additional year. It's a great job. Phenomenal job by Rick Hunt. Can't wait to have him on. But like, I think Sox fans might have just gone a little bit over the top on like what actually had changed with that contract. Does that make any sense?
A little, but I think it should get fans excited. I mean, it shows, one, it means he's going to be on the opening day roster.
Huge.
I look at the Chris Bryant situation. That's
right.
Turned into a very ugly one.
Yep. But
but
let's say you get to...
And it also makes him... At some point, Luis Robert could have entered free agency, let's say 7 years down the road, and gotten $150, $200 million offer.
Okay.
Right?
Sure, maybe more.
So you control him for a year longer.
Right. It's all good.
And he could very much outplay this contract.
Hopefully he will.
So I think there's reason to be excited.
Of course, yeah, there is. There is. But they got him on the opening. They got him there for opening day, which is cool. He'll be there March 26th against the Royals, assuming he doesn't completely implode in spring training. No one thinks he's going to do that. This guy's had an incredible year last year, a number three prospect in all of baseball. But, you know, we just...
I understand what you're
saying. I'm just saying that...
So left field's Eloy Jimenez. Center field's going to be Luis Robert. Right field, Mazzara.
Who's batting second in your opening day lineup? Who's KP's leadoff guy?
So my leadoff guy,
if you're not going Robert,
I'd go Tim Anderson or Yoan Moncada.
Okay,
one of those two.
All right,
I'd probably have those two, one and two, either way.
Okay,
third Jose Abreu.
Okay,
fourth Grandal.
Okay,
I think opening day you could see McCann behind home plate and Grandal DHing. Because it's probably going to be Giolito on the mound.
Okay, that makes
sense.
Giolito
and McCann. And for what McCann did last year, you got to have him in the opening day lineup. It would just feel kind of wrong if he wasn't.
That's interesting, though, right? So we went out and we just signed Edwin Encarnacion, gave him big money to be the DH. Now, it's only one day in 162, but it does have the magnifying glass on it. I want to start a controversy right now here, KP. Because if you catch McCann for Lucas... Then your big acquisition in Grandal for $73 million on the bench, and or Encarnacion is on the bench, which is these are all great problems to have. Ricky Renteria is probably sitting there right now, going through his lineup on opening day and day two and day three. Ricky's got to be feeling great.
It is fun though, because the past few years, I think White Sox fans have done the dreaming of this moment, right? Where this was the off season where going into it, I said, look, they're likely going to spend more than they ever have in franchise history. And they've done that because it was the perfect time to strike for Rick Hahn and the White Sox. You had guys who made a lot of improvements last year, and Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada. You saw the season Lucas Giolito had. There was individual improvement up and down the roster. Now, not complete yet. Obviously, they only won 73 games or so. But it gave you, I think it really was like urging the front office, like, hey, hello, this team's ready to compete. If you look at some of the win projection totals, they might not be as high as some may think. But let's keep in mind that Ronaldo Lopez is an unproven talent. Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech. As the upside that all those guys may have, that's not proven yet.
Right.
But they improved by 10 games last year. You got to figure that they'll improve by 10 games. And that was without any major free agent signings, right? So... mid-80s, high-80s is not a stretch at all.
They're winning the World Series.
It's 162-0.
Why? I mean, let's not take any chips off the table right now. The World Series in 2020. Don't tell me about the Minnesota Twins.
No, I wasn't. I was going to tell you about the Tigers and the Royals to your point. They get to play them quite a bit.
Right. Don't tell me about Garrett Cole playing for the Yankees and $300-plus million there. Regardless, all seriousness, all kidding aside... They're the only team in Chicago right now whose arrow is completely, without question, 100% headed in the right direction.
Straight up. Can't
say that about the Bears. Can't say it about the Cubs. Certainly can't say it about the Bulls and or Blackhawks right now. So I'm curious, actually, what White Sox fans are most excited about right now. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Your phone calls are welcome on White Sox Weekly. You can throw out your concerns, too. KP touching on the, hey, you look at that starting rotation, there's not a whole lot of proven arms in there. And there aren't. They're going to have to do it. Dylan Cease, are you going to be able to step up and make a major jump? Michael Kopech, are you going to be healthy? Ronaldo Lopez, are you going to have a bounce back year? Lucas Giolito, can you stay where you're at? Dallas Keuchel, can you come to a new team and feel comfortable immediately and contribute? Not easy to do. Everybody talks about John Lester with him, right? John Lester came over here in 2015, wasn't feeling great in spring training, threw 7,000 bullpens, gave himself a dead arm, had an ERA of 6 after April, and finished the year as a 500 pitcher, and you know he got better as it went along. But it's hard for guys making transitions like that. Hey, White Sox fans, single-game tickets, they go on sale Wednesday, January 15th, 10 in the morning. Join us for a season filled with great giveaways and more. Lower-level tickets start at just $20. Visit WhiteSox.com for more information.
And give the gift of White Sox baseball this season with a holiday pack starting at just $36. Each pack includes 4 ticket vouchers for the 2020 season, and you can add on opening day tickets beginning at $29. Don't want to miss opening day this year,
Con. You do not.
2020. Get yours today at WhiteSox.com/holidaypacks.
All right, Jason Benetti, hopefully coming up here, and we will talk a little bit more in depth about Luis Robert after this quick little message for you. It's White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, White Sox Weekly, Mark Carmen and Kevin Paul. The text line going a little wild here. Hater Carm. Having Luis Robert opening day says every game matters, says they're ready, says he's different. No way they sit Grandal on opening day. There's another one. Hmm. And predicting 88 wins and the White Sox the most improved team in Major League Baseball.
Well, I'm not saying he's not going to be in the lineup, but he might not be catching.
Right, you're going not in the lineup. I'm saying that
why would you not DH him if he wasn't catching? What am I missing here, Carm?
Why would, because you got Edwin Encarnacion.
You're gonna put Encarnacion in over Grandal? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's your DH. That's your guy.
No, Carmen, stop being ridiculous.
So he's a bench guy on opening day at $12 million. This is a new level of White Sox.
Yeah. This is what happens when you have a talented team. Sometimes there's talent on your bench because you play matchups and a lot of things go into making the lineup.
See, that's another thing that people aren't necessarily discussing. And I did have, I forget who was on last week, and I was just talking from like a James McCann position. You just came over here from the Tigers, right? You had an incredible season.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the All-Star game. You helped Lucas Giolito become an All-Star pitcher. You were beloved in the clubhouse. Nobody said a bad word about you. And then they went out and got Yasmani Grandal, and now you're a backup, and you might play 2 or 3 times a week. If I was him, I'd be like, that's great. I get it. And I feel like I'm a starter. But James McCann's a great teammate. I don't think he's going to cause a problem. But if I was him, wouldn't you be a little miffed if you were James McCann?
Well, as a competitor, I'm sure anybody would feel that way. If you know your playing time is going to be shortened up throughout the length of a season, I mean, you bring in this, but it's still the catching position as well, though. I mean, you see that split up quite a bit. Anyway.
Right. And that's like the new age catcher. They don't catch 140
games. And I mean, what are the
White
Sox supposed to do? Say, we're not going to add talent because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings?
Right, right, right. I don't think the White Sox did anything wrong, but if I was him.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, just because, again, the competitive nature of professional athletes.
Well, that was also one of the more interesting comments from Dallas Keuchel in his press conference, by the way. Because Dallas Keuchel pitched at Arkansas. James McCann was the catcher there. James Fegan did a great job on doing a piece on the Athletic on it. And then Keuchel gets in the press car and says, yeah, when they signed Yasmani Grandal, I was like, all right, this is a team I'm very key on who I am throwing to. So he knew McCann, but he's psyched to throw to Grandal, who's got a great reputation.
If I Are you looking into that a little bit too much, Carm?
I don't know. Maybe I am. But if I'm McCann, I'm like, hang on a second, man. Like, didn't you want to come here before when I was here? Why does Grandal got to be here?
Well, I'll say this, though. That's what you just said. Dallas Keuchel was team. Everyone's watching what the White Sox are doing this offseason. This is a moment White Sox fans have been dying and waiting for and trying to be patient. After years of watching free agents go to other organizations, the White Sox are landing big free agents. It's happening. This is the exact time they should strike, and they are.
Yeah. It's awesome.
This is awesome.
And they're, I mean, I take no chips off the table. Why can't the White Sox be in the playoffs this year? Right now. I think that's clearly the goal, right?
With the team I'm looking at right now, it looks like a team that certainly can contend for a playoff spot, if not a division championship. And they're not even done yet.
That's okay. Speaking of not done yet and talking about division championships and doing the whole thing, you want to pay Nicholas Castellanos? You want to give him 4 years and $80 million to play right field at 20? What is he? 26 or 27? Whatever it is, he's very in his prime. Had an incredible, did phenomenal with the Cubs last year when he was actually surrounded by a decent lineup. And by the way, that lineup wasn't even hitting that well. But I mean, the guy was unbelievable. Wouldn't you want Castellanos? I would.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want Nick Castellanos, but it appears that they're hoping for Mazzara to have a breakout year here. I mean, they're taking a shot on the guy.
Right. Anybody excited about that one?
It's probably the least exciting move of the offseason, but among all the White Sox moves.
And, okay, Nomar Mazzara is hitting the bottom of your lineup, and he's going to hit 25 homers and knock in 80, and he's going to hit 7th, 8th, or 9th. That's great.
Right.
I mean, that guy's hitting 3rd. 2 years ago, I mean, the bottom of the White Sox lineup was Ryan Cordell, and no disrespect to anybody here, Ryan Cordell, Adam Engel, throw Daniel Palka in there. Whom else? I mean,
Palka power. I knew we'd get a Palka mention in from Carm. You're his biggest fan.
I mean, listen, these guys are still hanging around. I mean, you've got who's the left-handed hitter that just reached?
Nicky
Delmonico's back in the fold.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a.
I know it was bad.
You had a cascade.
It's really bad.
Charlie Tilson. I love all these guys. Great guys, but yeah. You're talking about now a guy who's hitting 20 plus bombs at the bottom of your order and not what they had.
When's Madrigal get called up?
So,
because if you look at the lineup, second base is who? Leury Garcia.
Could on opening day, that would actually be a good argument for KP's not leading off Luis Robert to put extra pressure on him. Maybe Leury Garcia is playing second base and he's leading off on opening day.
I think that's
a good bet right there.
The first three hitters in the lineup on opening day will be a version of Tim Anderson, Moncada, and Jose Abreu.
That's so good.
It's so good. A smile on your face.
It's so good.
Grandal batting cleanup.
Yeah. Well, look.
Maybe throw Robert in fifth.
Me and you were
Eloy fifth, Robert sixth. This got a chance to be a really, really good team. Really good lineup for sure.
Yes. You can play around with the lineup in a million different ways. Let's just go. I would start off. My guy's Luis Robert. I'm assuming he's going to have a great spring training. You're leading off on opening day. I'll bet Yoan Moncada second. I'll play him at third base. I'll hit Jose Abreu third. That's where he's been his whole career. Go Jose Abreu. I'll hit Yasmani Grandal fourth, to our point earlier. I'll have him DH. Let him bat fourth. Okay, great. Now I'm going to bring Eloy to the plate. Eloy's batting fifth. I'm getting super excited. Who am I missing?
Luis Robert?
Sixth. No, I got him. I already had him leading off. Sixth. Oh, yeah, I got him leading off. I'll hit Timmy. Put him right in the middle of the lineup. Let him enjoy himself. Free swinging Timmy. You can bat sixth. Who am I missing now? Seventh, I got James McCann catching on opening day. Eighth, my eighth hitter, I guess, is Nomar Mazzara in right field. And then who have I not placed anywhere? I got the catcher. Should have wrote this down, Carm. Bad job by Carm. I got Robert. I've got Eloy.
Second baseman.
And then your second baseman. I got Leury. I got Leury or I've got Nick Madrigal.
It's a real possibility. Yeah.
But like this is how much pressure do you think is going to be on Ricky?
So my bold prediction that I've already made is my hot take, Carm.
You say this on the Rokan show? Have you said this anywhere?
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter, okay.
On the Rokan show.
Okay.
Ricky Renteria, he's my pick for AL Manager of the Year.
I love that pick.
Right? Because it's a real possibility.
I go
from a third place finish, team emerging from a rebuild, wins the AL Central, Ricky leading the way, keeping things together over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's great.
Right? It's not even that bold of a prediction.
No, but I haven't heard anybody else say it. So
I got ahead of the crowd.
You're in a slight bold state there. Ricky.
And Luis Robert, Rookie of the Year?
That's less bold, but beautiful. And it'd be amazing. This is going to be...
White Sox bringing in some hardware, finally, from the 708. Cannot wait for the start of the season, especially with all the terrible, unwatchable teams in town. I think we're all on board with that, 708.
Jeff Passan did a great job, by the way, recapping how the White Sox controllable players. Robert, signed through 2027. Eloy, 2026. Cease, 2025. 2024, Tim Anderson, Michael Kopech. 2023, Giolito, Moncada, Grandal, Keuchel. What year is it right now?
2020.
2020, baby. It's called an extended window. It's called sellouts at Guaranteed Rate Field. It's called big lines for churros. It's called the elotes. They're not going to be...
Polish sausage.
With extra onions.
A little bit of mustard.
Right. All that's going to be going on. All right, we'll catch up with Jason Medani coming up here, 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox getting ready to win a World Series, 533.
I'm hyping myself up, Carm, over the first 30 minutes of White Sox Weekly. You and I have kind of hyped up this season.
I've done a little bit of a roller coaster, too. I've tried to bring a little bit of, you know, measurement, if you will, to the table. That doesn't make any sense. That's why we're bringing in Jason Benetti. He's very smart, and he joins us now. And he, after one of his 17 jobs, he's in a car with multiple people, and he just called Syracuse and Notre Dame, which is his alma mater, and the Irish over the Orange, 88-87. Is that personal for you, Jason Benetti? By the way, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, if you hear anything in the background, it is Dan Dockett screaming because I almost stopped at a stoplight that I shouldn't have stopped at. If the over-under in the car right now is 5.5, take the over.
We appreciate all contributions from Dan or anybody else who's riding with you at any point, Jason Benetti. That is well encouraged here on White Sox Weekly.
And Happy New Year, Jason. Fantastic. First time talking to you since the New Year. I don't think a week goes by where someone doesn't go to me, "You know, Jason Benetti just sounds so great during broadcasts." I go, "I know. He's the best. You're killing it."
That's nice. Problem is, I'm going to have to pay the vomit cleanup fee for the rental car because Dan just threw up when he said that.
Jason, all things considered, how would you grade this offseason for the White Sox?
I think it's an A. It's in the A range. I mean, we'll see exactly how it goes in season, but I'm as excited as you guys are. I mean, I haven't heard the first half hour of the show, but from what you've described, you sound as excited as most White Sox fans who I've heard from. After Grandal, and then Keuchel, and then Mazzara, and Gio Gonzalez, and it looks like Encarnacion. I mean, the whole thing is building to something that we've been excited about for a long while, and now the pieces are coming together. So it's an A for me at this point, and you're going to have to fight me to get me off that.
Were you as annoyed as I was after the Zach Wheeler thing went down? Well, will anybody take the White Sox's money? Like, listen, if they continue to be at the top of the market with players, guys are going to come here. And by the way, as they establish themselves as a winning organization, people will come here probably for less money, too. He just had a unique situation. And with Machado, the Sox didn't offer the most money. So he went for the most guaranteed dough, which is what a lot of guys would do. You can't fault him for that. But that narrative was bothering me.
Well, I it didn't bother me because I get it. I get why fans would say that. I mean, you can't love it as a Sox fan, but, like, I get why people would say that. But the good news is when we're talking about exactly how much, you know, how much clout you have in free agency, when Dallas Keuchel says that the thing that helped put him over the top was simply that you got Yasmani Grandal, and that allows him to sign with the Sox and feel good about it, that's ideal.
Do you think they signed Grandal with that in mind? I think we might have lost Jason Benetti. Or Dockett took the phone from one of the two. Hang on.
What's that? I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm saying, do you think that they signed Grandal with that in mind?
Classic technical difficulty.
We're having a technical. Hang on. Let me put him on hold here, and we'll see if Curtis can figure that out. Do you think they signed Grandal with that in mind?
I mean, I don't think they say we should sign Grandal so others sign, but I think they probably acknowledge the fact that if we land Grandal, this could bring us other fish.
Because they did it last year, right? Let's go get John Jay.
That was the most blatant attempt at getting a big... And they were like, no, we like these guys. Yonder, Alonso, John Jay. Everyone's like, yeah, okay, we know what you're doing.
Right. I mean, they signed the entire Machado family.
Right.
And so, I mean, I don't know if they were thinking, if we get Grandal, that's going to signify to other free agents. Hey, Jason, just ask you the question. Do you think that they sign Yasmani Grandal because that would potentially help them with other free agents? And that was maybe like reason number three of, I don't know, 10, that, hey, this should help, plus the fact that the guy can obviously play.
That's on the list. Got to be on the list, right? How a catcher handles pitching staff, especially with young pitching talent. I mean, that's absolutely going to be on the list and part of what you vet people for, framing and how they handle a pitching staff and all that comes along with it. So that's really important.
I think it's a good sign that you have a quality team when you start to develop good problems. And what I mean by that, for Ricky Renteria, he's going to have to figure out playing time for the catchers, James McCann, Yasmani Grandal. I think all of us are expecting Grandal to get more starts. But how do you see playing time being divided up between Grandal and McCann? And McCann meant a lot last year to the clubhouse, and Lucas Giolito did nothing but praise McCann all season and talk about how much he helped him with his game.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on that. I mean, I haven't talked to Ricky Renteria at all during any of the last couple weeks. I mean, I'll see him at Sox Fest and probably get a better feel for that, but both are going to be involved, that's for sure.
Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, with us here on 720 WGN. What are you most excited about right now, Jason, and what is the one thing that perhaps is keeping you up just a little bit at night?
That keeps me up a little bit? Yeah. I mean, I think relief pitcher, probably you're going to want one of those or two of those, but I think, you know, that'll happen, that'll come. The Sox have done a good job of turning relief pitchers into more valuable relief pitchers over the past couple of years. So I'm just excited to see what's next at every turn, because the Sox have proven this offseason that there has been something next at every turn.
Yeah. You know what's keeping me up at night? Your Twitter battle with Steve Stone. This has come out of nowhere, and you know, people who are successful in life, like Steve, Cy Young Award winner, tremendous on TV for decade after decade, they want to compete, and to go at you in the Twitter world, this is he's not messing around here, clearly.
I'm going to go back to The Wire. Did you guys watch The Wire on HBO?
Yes, I know The Wire. Okay.
When you come at the king, you best not miss.
This is going to make for a good season right here. I appreciate the fact he wants to compete. You got to give him a little bit of love for that.
I love it. No, it's hilarious. Honestly, like we have not been texting or anything while we've been doing this. We've just been like having the Stark out on Twitter. Like, this is in no way do we have even back channel conversation about how funny it is or whatever. This is legitimately just stream of consciousness. And for me, that's my favorite part. I think it's hysterical.
Impeccable chemistry between you two. The broadcast is phenomenal, and I very much have enjoyed this Twitter rant between you two.
Thank you. I expect that there will be at some point just us talking on Twitter instead of talking into the microphones. Like, I think that may come at some point this season. But I mean, everybody's in a better mood, which allows us to do this as well. I mean, last off season, if Steve and I were trying to have fun on Twitter, all of the responses would have been, "Why not Manny Machado?" And they would have all been in that tone, even though Twitter doesn't have a tone. And I get it. I'm not making fun of Sox fans in the least. I get it. People were frustrated, and I get that. I totally understand that. But now, with this thing building some more, we get to have a little fun, too, and we're both actually sort of serious as well, because we are competitive people.
You would not be in the position where you're at if you weren't. So that's the underlying truth of it. Oh, Steve actually probably wants to win this. 82 days till opening day, Jason Benetti. We appreciate you taking time. Say hi to Dan Dockage for us. What's your next assignment? Where will we be seeing you on Twitter? Who's the first person you thought of? Which, by the way, today was Pearl Washington for me.
You said that. One of the coordinating producers at ESPN for football, Steve Ackles, said that as well. There were a couple of Pearl Washingtons. I'm in East Lansing on Thursday. Dan and I are. We got Sparty and Goldie the Gopher.
We got to go with Sean Respert for that one, but maybe just a little.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that was
Eric Snow.
That was my era. Hawkeyes and Spartans had some great battles in the mid '90s. Respert was a hell of a player, but I do.
Razem Lorbeck.
Wow. Wow, that's a name right there. That's impressive. I also want to just, you know, I think about Michigan State, and it's magic. That's home. Hey, Jason, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you at Sox Fest.
Carm, Kevin, thank you for having me. Sorry about the shenanigans.
No problems. Good. No problem whatsoever. Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, after calling the Orange and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish 88-87. Go,
nail-biter.
No, go Notre Dame. There's a lot to tee up there as we come on back here with the White Sox and
Sox Fest 2 weeks away, Carm.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to hear from the players, hear from Ricky, as Jason said, as we were talking about the catching situation. Very excited for this year's Sox Fest.
Yeah, Sox games, by the way, are better with the group. It's never too early to lock in your 2020 group package. From a diamond suite to a pregame patio party, we've got the perfect space for your occasion. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000.
And the White Sox pop-up shop is back at the Orland Square Mall. This offseason, visit the White Sox store at Orland Square Mall now through January 15th, conveniently located across from the Apple Store. Fans can shop stadium exclusives and special promotions throughout the holidays. For more information, follow at White Sox Store on Instagram.
It's 720 WGN. Mark Harmon, Kevin Powell, White Sox Weekly till the top of the hour, and Sports Central coming at you till 10 o'clock.
And it's flying by, Carm, because it's fun to talk about the White Sox right now.
Yeah, Sox fans, what are you most excited about? What are you most nervous about? You can put that in there, too. 312-981-7200. KP, I got a trivia question for you.
Fire away.
It's going to be a tough one here. Okay. Putting you on the spot. Did not All give right. you any prep on this.
Okay.
White Sox, in their history, Curtis, you can jump in on here, too, have signed five players to extensions like they did with Luis Robert before they ever made their major league debut.
The Sox did that?
Five players before making their major league debut. Luis Robert was one of them, is one of them.
Eloy Jimenez, of course.
Eloy Jimenez is two. Now you got to go back, and the three players, none of them are with the White Sox right now, but they were all key in acquiring. I'll give you that hint.
Oh, okay. Chris Sale?
Chris Sale is one.
Jose Quintana?
As we look at Yoan Moncada. Wait. Jose Quintana is two. As we look at Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease. Bum, bum, bum. This young man won a World Series this year as a
member of the Nationals. Adam Eaton?
Adam Eaton is your fifth.
See, so that was another thing, too, with the, like, you don't even want to think about this because you just want to envision Luis Robert staying with the White Sox forever. But, like, that makes a player so, they got as much as they did in large part. Yes, the players were very talented. But they had locked those guys up to extremely team-friendly contracts. Like, ridiculously friendly team contracts.
Yep.
And I don't think Rick Hahn gets the haul he did.
Wouldn't have come close.
Without getting those contracts done. That factored into it 100%.
No question. Cubs
didn't have the ammunition the Sox had when they started their rebuild.
Cubs overpaid by a mile for Jose Quintana, mainly because he was a cost-controllable pitcher. The Nationals did the exact same thing with Adam Eaton. Here's a guy who can hit the top of our order, and we don't have to pay him much. And the Red Sox, all right.
They won a World Series.
Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers in the game, and he's cheap. So right. we're giving you Yoan Moncada. That is something that should have been mentioned when I was teeing up that, well, the Robert thing's not necessarily as big. The value in possibly dealing him is huge. Let's get John in Streamwood on 720. WGN wants to ask a question about Ricky Renteria. What's up there, John? Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hey, I'm as excited as you are, and as I get into this, I stress I like Ricky Renteria. I think he's a great guy. He's great with the team. Everybody likes him. He's a good man. Having said that, I questioned a couple things last year, which questions for this coming year. For instance, we're on a losing year, a bad losing year. You bring up Zach Collins to see what he's got, but you play Castillo, a 200 hitter, who's on his way out. And he doesn't play him once or twice. He plays him quite a bit. The bottom line is, I didn't see why he didn't give the kids some practice time when he needed it. And why, and I heard you say that you like the idea too, why do you take the league's leading hitter and you bat him sixth or seventh as opposed to higher up?
Well, okay, a couple things there, John. Let's hit up the first one.
Okay.
Number one, did you watch Zach Collins play last year?
We lost
John.
John dropped off. Let me say this about Ricky Renteria, that I understand that there's some fair criticism in throughout the year. There were some moments where you could question his decision-making. I will say this. I'm going to give Ricky Renteria the benefit of the doubt because he's never managed a team that had the right personnel to compete for a division and or playoff spot. We've never seen Ricky Renteria manage a really good team. Have we?
We have not.
Wherever he's been?
Nope.
He's always been part of a rebuild. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not
going to... 2-9 Texan, Carm, don't get over your skis. People were sounding like you guys about the Bears this past July. Now, I've actually kind of made that comparison. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but this has been an extremely fun offseason. But... I hate to even bring up the Bears here, but because I'll say this, the amount of upside from a lot of these young players, we all believe is through the roof, right? The Kopech, the Ceases, Robert, Eloy making strides, but it's still, that's still on them. They haven't necessarily proven anything just yet. So I understand, and I'm keeping it about a little centered here, but it's tough not to just have fun with this. I mean, I think it's real that this is a team that can compete for division crown.
Okay, let's say a couple things here. Number one, the Bears' implosion has absolutely nothing.
I'm just saying you can draw some comparisons if you do want to try to,
You can draw
compare a little bit.
Well, but it's so different. Like the Bears were coming off a 12-4 season, and the Bears made it out like their only problem was the kicker, which was completely ridiculous. And that as long as they figured out Cody Parkey, they were going to win the Super Bowl. When there was a million other red flags that they did not want
to
address.
Just say to this person's point, I see where they're coming from, but I think there's real reason to be hyped, to be pumped about the White Sox.
Right, and if you want to throw some cold water out there, then for me, you throw it on the pitching staff. Dylan Cease is unproven. So is Michael Kopech. Renato Lopez had a terrible first half last year.
He was up and down. It was a roller coaster year for Lopez.
You don't know when's Carlos Rodon coming back. What's he going to be? Is Dallas Keuchel going to be able to pitch at the top of the rotation? All these questions are real.
Rotation There's, looking like Giolito, your ace.
Yeah, can and
Keuchel second, Gio Gonzalez third.
I would go, well, hopefully Gio's pitching in that five spot. I would hope it goes Gio Gonzalez. I would hope that Lucas Giolito is your opening day starter. I hope that Gael Steichel goes second. I want Ronaldo Lopez to be your third starter. I hope he has a great spring. I hope he's figured it out. He certainly had his second half was way better. So if he actually pitches well enough to be your three, then you're sitting there with Cease at four, Gio at five. Where's Kopech? Is he ready to go? Gio's and then pitching out of the bullpen, that would be great. Let him be a swing guy. If Kopech's healthy and ready to go, you're not going to put him out. I wouldn't think you'd start him in the bullpen. These are also questions that Ricky Renteria will have to answer. John of Riverside, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark and Kevin. Agree the bullpen definitely needs to be a priority. Maybe adding a couple more arms. Eighth inning type guy would be huge. What's your thoughts on taking a 1-year shot, maybe kind of a cheap show me deal on Yasiel Puig?
Interesting name.
Well, if you're going to do a show me type deal, that's what they've got in Mazara already. You know, I think they would have went that route with Puig if they thought he was that guy. But Mazara is like the definition of prove it type season.
And Puig has a reputation that is not. On the positive side, John, as far as how he impacts the clubhouse, so he wasn't beloved.
True, but also, if you think about it, he's probably never played with many Cubans in L.A. or Cleveland or Cincinnati. There might be an opportunity here, and plus he's a player who has a past. I mean, no offense to Nomar Mazara, but he's really never done anything at a major league level. Yasiel Puig was an outstanding player at one point.
Nomar Mazara is 24 years old, though, and he's in 20-plus bombs, man. And I don't think the Puig is going to happen. And I and people are people, John, right? She should be getting along with Cubans and Americans and everybody, like, just because the White Sox have Eloy and Luis and all that. I don't see it happening. To me, it'd be a lot more interesting if you were to go all in on a guy like Castellanos and be like, you know what, the way the offseason has fallen, we really feel like we're in a position to be successful, and this guy is young and he's in his prime and he fits for us and we're going to do it, versus just taking another flyer. I don't think they'll do that either, but maybe they will. We'll see. But John, how many wins right now on January the 4th, if you had to predict?
I would say I'm excited but guarded. I would say 84 right now.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the phone call. 84. 80. I mean, listen.
Yeah, right now I'm kind of sitting mid-80s.
Really?
Mid-80s right now. What are you thinking?
92.
Yeah. I'm thinking mid to high 80s.
Why not go to 92?
Go to 92. I think that wins you the AL Central.
Get you in the playoffs. Be a wild card team. Something. 92 should you would think would get it done. I don't know. I can't be in the 80s right now.
Okay.
We got Sox
Fest. Ride the wave.
We got Sox Fest coming in a couple weeks.
You
going
to be at Sox Fest, Carl?
I'm going to be at Sox Fest, KP. Come on. We got to be at Sox Fest. We got to do something here. Hey, upgrade your game day in 2020 with premium seating. Join all-inclusive experience with packages starting at just 20 games. Cheering on the Sox from the best seats in the house. For more information, visit whitesox.com or call 312-674-1000. And our conversation with Jason Benetti was sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. Sports Central coming up at the top of the hour. News straight ahead as well, 720 WGN.